add my welcome to everyone for attending the services this morning and hope that the things that we will be looking at will be helpful to each and every one of us. I want to study the topic of first love, and I hope this is more of a compliment than a retread of the sermon from last Lord's Day. We will begin by looking at the passage where this word or this phrase is used in Revelation 2, verses 1 through 6. Reading from there, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." This passage describes a situation where for a good part of it is complimentary of the congregation of the church there in Ephesus. And if we stopped there, we might think that they were doing a pretty good job. But we see in verse 4 where he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." We want to investigate what was meant by first love. When we think of that, what are some of the things that might come to mind? What is first love? Is it the initial attraction? Certainly this is not speaking of a romantic love, but it is one that has perhaps similarities with it in that there is an initial attraction. When we first obey the gospel, there is almost a built-in attraction or a built-in desire there that perhaps is what he's referring to as first love. Maybe it also means top rank, the first one, the best one, the top of the list that we might consider to be the first love. Perhaps that's another way of looking at what Jesus was referring to in this passage to the church there at Ephesus. Another way, and it's slightly different aspect of it, is that it's the primary love, the one that is most important to us and how we view our relationship with God and our service in the church. So what is first love? Let's look at some passages that might help us better understand this. We want to identify first love, and then we're going to look at some considerations that were brought to our attention in this passage. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verses 18 through 20, it says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." One of the identifying characteristics or the ways to identify first love is to understand that the instructions from God are pure and of our primary love. It should be the focus of our attention. In this passage, it says that he encouraged Timothy to consider the prophecies which went before. These are things that he was already aware of, or at least had been taught. And then he says in verse 19, holding faith, hold on to it, don't let it slip away. And that there, and from that we can see that these are primary characteristics, primary things in our life that we are to have and hold on to. In Romans, the 15th chapter and verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We're already beginning to develop a picture in our mind, perhaps, of exactly what it is that our love is to be directed toward. Here we find, again, the idea of that which was already present, those things that were written aforetime. Scriptures allow us to understand what that love is. If we keep the scriptures in our lives, if we keep reading them, then it tells us and develops in us the love that should be primary. In that passage that we read of to begin with, Jesus acknowledged the work that they had done and commended them for it. And that also is a focus of our love, or the object of our love. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 12, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." We're encouraged here to remain with this labor. And he describes this labor as a labor of love. Therefore, part of our way of identifying first love is to understand that it is active. It is not something that we see a picture of and that's as much as we engage with it. But rather, it is the effort that we put into it. He says, God's not going to forget the work that we've done. And he describes it as a labor of love, and then he encourages us to continue with that, to continue in that labor of love. The opening passages that we read there from Revelation is a warning. He's warning them about the fact that they had lost or left their first love. And so perhaps it would be wise of us to look at what causes us to lose that first love. Why does that happen? What might be something that we need to look at so that either we prevent or we correct? In Galatians, the 5th chapter, and verse 4, it says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." If we attempt to seek justification outside of Jesus, then it will cause us to diverge or move away from Jesus. If that's where our interests lie, in whatever part of our life it may be, if we focus on that rather than on following Jesus, he says here that you are fallen from grace. We fall away. And so our attention must remain upon Jesus. That's one of the causes for perhaps, in some cases, leaving the first love. In Galatians, the 1st chapter, verses 6 and 7, he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." We need to be sure that the gospel that we follow is the unadulterated gospel, that it is not another gospel, because he says there really is no other gospel, because once the message is changed, then it no longer remains the gospel of Christ. But if we are subject to this perverted gospel, then we, by definition, have left our first love. We have left the gospel and are therefore, as the previous passage read, fallen from grace. In James, the 1st chapter, verses 13 through 15, we see another cause of our leaving our first love. He says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Notice in verse 14, he says, they are drawn away of his own lust. Away from what? the object of our first love. And he says it is because of what's within our heart, the lust, when it is conceived, when it comes to life, it brings forth sin, and then sin, when it is finished, results in death. So the life is not persistent. Evil desires, or entertaining these evil desires in our lives, will cause us to leave our first love, cause us to not remain focused upon that primary object of love. So what do we do? How do we solve the problem? How do we rectify the situation of having left our first love? Well, Jesus gave the instructions there in Revelation that we can follow. Other scriptures that support this way of returning to our first love is given to us. In Hosea, the 14th chapter and verse 1, the prophet records, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." The first thing that we need to do in returning to our first love is to acknowledge that we're in a bad place. We're not where we need to be. There is a requirement that we return from this wickedness, or return from having left the first love. You know, we may have interests in our lives, and we set them aside for a while, and then we return to them. The most important activity in our life is in our service to the Lord, and there may be times when our focus, our attention, our love for the Lord has diminished, and it is incumbent on us, it is important for us to return. And so the encouragement, the admonition here from that we read here in Hosea is we are to return unto the Lord. That's the first step, is acknowledging our need to return. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When we place God first, then so many of the other issues, problems, or at least things in our life will resolve themselves. God will take care of us. He says here, put God first, seek him first, return to that first love, and then all these things will be added unto you. The things that we worry about will be resolved. Now, will we still have trouble in life? Yes. He's not saying that everything will immediately be solved, but having the right priorities, having the right focus in our life, allows us to manage those things that come up in our life. If we don't have this, then we can, quite frankly, be quite miserable. But by having the Lord first, then the other needs, as he says here, these things should be added unto you. Continuing our thoughts on returning to the first love, Jesus told him, the church there in Ephesus, more than once in that passage, to repent, to change, to stop doing what they had been doing that was not pleasing to God, and return, to repent, and to pray for deliverance. In Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 22, the very same thing is given to us. Acts 8:22 says, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." This individual was desirous of the power of the Holy Spirit, inappropriately, as it seems. And he was told to repent, to change his way, to change his way of thinking, and pray that God would forgive him. We, too, need to, if we've lost our first love, then it stands to reason that there's a change that needs to be made in our lives. The activities that we're engaged in that have attracted us away from the first love we need to change that and come back to the full focus of our attention upon God. Further, as we consider returning from to our first love, we need to listen to the right instruction. If we've attempted to seek that justification elsewhere, we've determined that it is not helpful, but certainly the Word of God is. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26, we find that listening to the instruction leads to recovery. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." He talks about instruction. We need to listen to the instruction of the Lord. If we are not listening to the Lord, how can we know about him? How can it continue to fuel the fire, to fuel the love that we have for the Lord if we don't listen to him? It becomes a distant stranger, and that certainly has no positive for us. But it's interesting that in verse 26, he includes the idea of recovery. The prospect of coming back is given to us in this word, that we can recover. Now, he's speaking about the responsibilities of some elders to instruct others to come back. But if we're the ones in that situation, it still applies to us in that we can be recovered. We can come back. We can reignite that love for the Lord and that first love. If we do this and we are back in with the right attention and focus in our lives, or if we really haven't lost our first love, but there are still instructions about maintaining our first love. Once we have that first love going, we cannot afford to let it slip. In fact, it requires effort to keep it focused on keep our first love focused. Look with me here in Philippians, the third chapter, verses 13 through 16. Philippians 3, beginning in 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." No significant effort is accomplished without planning. We have to have a plan. We have to have things laid out so that we know what to follow. The same is true in maintaining the love, our first love for the Lord. We have to plan to do that. We have to desire in our mind and make preparation and take steps toward achieving and maintaining that first love. The Apostle Paul says here in the last part of verse 13, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's making an effort. He's looking and he sees what is ahead in the sense of what has been promised. And we need to do the same. If we want to maintain our first love, we have to plan to do that. We can't just assume that it's always going to be there. But we can reach forth unto those things, he says. I really am impressed with verse 14. He says, "I press toward the mark." And we cannot accomplish that without effort. Serving the Lord, maintaining that first love, is not something that is a passive activity. It requires action on our part. It requires constant effort. I want to return to a passage, the following verses of a passage that we read earlier in Galatians, the first chapter, in verses 8 and 9. These are the following verses. "Is but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. We need to place safeguards around our service and around our lives so that our service is directed toward God. We need to be aware enough of what is going on to say that someone or an angel or whoever, any man, preach any other gospel, then we need to be warned of that. We need to be aware of the dangers that exist, because we've already seen what caused us to perhaps leave our first love. We need to employ safeguards and put barriers around our activities. We need to make sure that we don't engage in those things that would lead to us leaving our first love. In Jude, the 24th and 25th verses, it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Amen." This passage indicates that we must activate the protection of Jesus. When we're in Jesus, when we are following his commandments and doing the instructions that he has given to us, it will, says, keep us from falling. That was a problem that the church at Ephesus had, because they were beginning to fall away. Their first love was weakened. But when we remain and activate the protection of Jesus in our life, then it serves as a defense against falling. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, the writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It bears repeating, because I've already said this in this lesson today, we must abide and stay in the Word of God. We must abide within the gospel that Jesus has laid out for us, for he is the author and finisher of the faith. He is the author. He's laid it out as to what needs to be done, and he will complete it as the finisher. If we intend to maintain that same first love, we need to be abiding, living in the gospel of Jesus. As part of this idea of maintaining our first love, I want to dig a little deeper and hear what the scriptures tell us about maintaining our first love. There are things that we're told to hang on to or to hold on to not let slip away. In 2 Timothy, the first chapter and verse 13, it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." If the words that we are hearing are not sound, they will not promote and help us maintain our first love. If what we're hearing is spurious, if what we're hearing is anything less than the sound words of the gospel, it will not help. And so the best advice that we can receive is to hold on to sound words, as the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 6, it says, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." There is a level of confidence that is generated in us when we are able to successfully and accurately hold on to the Word of God and to obey it and to do the things that God tells us to do. It builds confidence in us that we're on the right track. We need to hold on to that. The writer here tells us if we hold fast, we can have that confidence in the being in the house of Christ, to be in his body. There is another element of that which we're to hold on to, and that is the profession. This is given to us in Hebrews 4, chapter verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is, passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Is he talking about our job or our occupation? I think this word profession here has more to do with our proclamation, what we have to say, how we present the gospel to perhaps other people. At the very least, how we present it to ourselves, how we listen to the word of God for ourselves. Jesus is this high priest, but we're to hold on to the proclamation about who he is and how he has directed our lives. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul writing here says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." This passage here speaks of enduring love. It speaks about the need that we have to endure, to persist, to have patience, to go through what may not be certain times that are pleasant. But he says we have to bear all of these things. Bear it in love. Don't allow the things that might come at us knock us off, but to endure through love. The final passage that we'll look at in our study this morning is one that comes from 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. He says, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and this one says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." I believe in the King James it says, "stir up." I think perhaps the picture that is drawn in this translation, "fan into flame," might register with us a little bit more. Those of us that live in West Texas are probably pretty familiar with the effect of fanning a flame. The wildfires, fires in the Panhandle, did so much damage because those flames were fanned. The winds blew and destroyed so much. But what it does, it shows us the effect that fanning the flame. When we think of our service to God, we may need to fan the flame a little bit. We may need to encourage one another so that that flame comes up. Our zeal and our love for the Lord is encouraged and strengthened. Perhaps the admonition that the Apostle Paul is giving to Timothy here is to that very point, to fan the flame, to encourage, so that his love for the Lord and his first love did not diminish. So as we conclude our thoughts, there are some things that we can summarize from this study. There is a real danger described in the scriptures about leaving our first love. That is the initial zeal we've had in service to the Lord. When we first began serving the Lord, as I said, generally we have a real let's go do it type of attitude. But if we're not careful, that can go away or it can reduce. If we have suffered the loss of our first love, we need to regain it. And we do so by immersing ourselves in the word and work of the Lord. There is no better place for us to go than back to the Lord in developing that first love. When we regain that zeal and purpose for the Lord, as we've studied, we need to take steps to prevent a relapse. if it can happen to us once, it can happen again. And we need to hold on to the instructions of the Lord to prevent that from happening. So the final phrase that I leave you with is fan the flame. Embers can die out, but fan the flame. I hope that the things that we've looked at in our study this morning have been helpful and encouraging to keep that first love. At this time, we offer the invitation to anyone who is subject to the gospel. If you've not started your walk, if you've not developed that first love, then we certainly would be happy to help you through study and baptism. If you've already begun the path down with Christ, but your embers are beginning to go low, then we would very much like to help fan those flames. So if either is the case and you would like the help of the church, come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.